Trish, did you get a job at the Sandpiper?
I work there. Wait, I'm the token gay.
Oh, honey, I'll out-gay you any day.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. Today, we are joined in studio with our good friend and returning guest host. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to
Dave Hartman. How are you, everybody?
Hello, Dave, and welcome.
So good to be back
here. Oh, it's so good to have you. And, of course.
All right, that was a little creepy.
We were doing a sound check earlier,
yeah.
And he talked in the mic, and Tom just goes, I got a boner.
Certainly not by my appearance at all. It's my sexy, I have a cold voice.
And as always, you know that I don't do the show by myself, and I'm always here with my great, amazing co-host, ladies and gentlemen, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And finally,
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Oh, my God. We have so much to cover today.
I got
to
give a shout out now just because of that. One we haven't mentioned in a while, Rusty. Our listener, Rusty, he totally commented on when you came on the show and he was like sexy cop or something like that.
Yeah, Rusty has good taste.
Oh, God.
You know, we also have to mention that we did say last week that we were having Bobby Edwards on the show, the Squatty Potty CEO and co-creator. However, there were some issues with a flight today, so he will not be on the show today. He will be on the show April 17th, which we are extremely excited about. Mm-hmm. So we're sad that you're not here, but we can't wait to have you on.
Well, it's also worth noting that, you know, we are going to move forward with our contest. And, you know, even though he's not on the show today, and we'll have him on the 17th, we're going to give you a little bit of information of what it is you need to do to win your very own Squatty Potty on the show, so that when we do have him on the show, we can talk about your funny stories, your funny poop stories. So I'm going to let Chris
or
Nick, actually whoever wants to take
it together.
It's
our first giveaway.
So, oh my God,
we're doing a giveaway on Gay Talk 2.0.
We are.
So take it away, Nick.
Go ahead, Trish.
All right, so first I have to give credit to Ian, because Ian's the one that came up with the idea for the giveaway. So, Ian, thank you. All you have to do to be eligible for this giveaway of a Squatty Potty, which will change your life.
It'll change your life forever.
The best poop of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And all quickest. You have to do is email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com with your best poop story. We will then choose which poop story is the funniest poop story, rated online, on air, not online, on air, and online, because we are live.
Yes, indeed.
On digitalstreamradio.com.
Way to plug it.
We'll read it out loud and share your story with the CEO of Squatty Potty, and you will be the person that wins. So all you have to do is email us at ktalk2.0 and give us your best shitty potty story. Do it. Yes.
Shitty potty.
Shitty potty.
He's probably
going to
come on and be like, I had no part of this, just so you guys know.
Well, pooping for me is no longer just pooping. I'm squatting when I'm pooping.
Yeah.
So like when I texted Chris earlier, I was like, how was your squat? It's not like, how was your poop? How was your squat?
How was your squat? Yeah. And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be about you, you know, just pooping on a toilet, no toilet paper. Maybe you didn't make it and it made it on the floor. Maybe you got pooped on, like maybe you stepped in poop or you fell in poop. Anything to do with poop pretty much makes you eligible to win a Squatty Potty from Gay Talk 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
do you think anybody's going to beat your poop stories, Chris, though? I want to win a plop-plop machine. And I don't know how I'm going to do it
plop,
with your story. Whatever
plop
they're
machine.
Called.
I mean...
Do you have a good gay? Do you a good gay story? Of course, you have a good gay story. Do you have a good poop story?
I do.
They're one and the same, as a matter of fact.
So I'm true. So happy you're back, dude. I mean, yeah, I guess it doesn't top my boyfriend's friend who was walking out of the shower in Egypt and he just pooped all over the floor. But there was like a drain, so he just was, like, didn't try to stop it. He's like, I might as well just finish with it. So he continued pooping on the floor. Mine, I remember I was with some of my friends and we were back in Windsor Locks and we were like hiking and like walking through his backyard and I was like sidestepping and my foot just went into the earth. I'm like, what the fuck happened? They had one of those fertilizers that you put in the ground, and it goes down. I just cracked the shit out of my jaw, and it goes down. It goes down like
way to go
2 feet. It's just this bucket in the ground, and you put your dog's crap in it, and it helps fertilize the soil. His dog, his dog died like 8 years before I stepped into that. So I was knee deep in 8-year-old dog shit. And my friend's throwing up. He's like, oh my God, it smells so bad. I'm like, it's on my fucking leg. Knee deep in fucking 8-year-old dog shit.
Well, at least it was like dog shit. I mean, you've probably been, you know, elbow deep in other dog and other shit.
And other dog shit.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, who teach this, their own. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a little platform for you guys. Take it from there. I want someone to fucking beat my poop story out there.
Chris was knee deep in dog shit. Where were you?
Well, you know, my poop story, I used to have these portable bidets, right? There was a portable bidet made by Go Bidet. And and seriously, it had a little arm and everything. You attached it to the water supply, and you would be able to do your thing and then clean. And so I was on the Squatty Potty website today, and I noticed that they have their own version of an amazing bidet, and it actually looks even better. So,
where's the poop story? Did I miss
it? Yeah, there's no poop.
Well, no, the poop story is that every time I went and took a poop, then, you know, I would, you know, my dog is making a cameo on the show.
This story right here is the example of a story that will not win the Squatty Potty.
Exactly.
Well, no, you know, well, I would take a dump, and then I would go, and then, you know, push the little lever, and the little thing come out to the center, and then water would shoot up. But then the problem was that in the wintertime, because it doesn't have hot water connected to it, you would literally freeze your fucking bum. So my hole would literally go, whoosh, and seal shut.
Well, there's a first
for
Tom. Everything.
Do you want me to just give $5?
So, but anyway, so that's my poop story.
So my poop story actually doesn't have to do with me pooping. So I was driving to Florida with my father and my aunt. We were driving down to Florida.
That a lot of the stuff that happens to you, you're always with your family? Specifically, either your sister or your father.
I mean, we're Italians. We're always together.
That's good.
But anyway, so we were driving down to Florida, and my aunt was in the car behind us. And all of a sudden, you know, we're on 95, probably in the Carolinas. I think the speed limit's like 75, so we're going, 85? Next thing I know, I see my aunt coming up on the right side, and she is going. She is going real fast. And so finally, we hit a bunch of traffic, and she stops, and I see her get out of the car, and she's, like, dancing around the car. So I'm like, all right, Dad, we're, like, dead standstill. I'm going to get out and go check on Aunt Barbara because something's going on. And I go over, and she's like, all right, so I really had to go to the bathroom, and I thought if I could speed up, I would make it there in time. But I did not make it there in time. I may have pooped myself a little bit, and my dentures fell out. I was like, what the fuck happened? So she's like out, like on the side, like taking off her underwear, leaving it on the side, and changing on the side of 95 in the Carolinas.
And then all of a sudden, you hear this.
What was that?
What the fuck?
Oh.
And it just blew up.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
I know.
It was the grenade in her ass.
So do you have one for us?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not going to tell you now because I want to be able to win sit and shit or whatever that thing's called.
Shit. The sit and shit.
I will be a proud owner of the stool when we get that prize here. So I'm not going to.
Are you going to email us at ktalk2.0@gmail.com?
I guess.
You have to submit your little story, and then we'll collect all the stories and read them like Nick said, and then we'll figure out which one is the funniest.
We're going to make it a night. We can have dinner and read people's shit stories.
Oh my God. That sounds like
as
so
long as it's
delicious.
In that order, I think dinner first.
I just want spicy jambalaya and we like sit down to read
and read
stories.
About people's shit stories. I think that sounds like a great idea.
Why don't we just drive to New York and go get some White Castle? Then we can really call it a shit story.
Gives me the shits the next day.
No.
That's the next day.
We're never doing that again.
They don't call them sliders for nothing. Seriously.
That's good. That's good.
Let me tell you about White Castle. I cannot eat that. It like literally the next day, not only did it smell like White Castle in the bathroom, but it was an all day event. It wasn't like I was there for like, you know, your 15 minutes. I didn't have a squatty potty at this point. It was a struggle. It was a rough day and I was at work.
Are you kidding me? I was holding in a poop for like 18 hours because of my traveling back from from Germany to Poland and coming home waiting for you guys. I had a whole, then putting the White Castle on top of it. That was a shit. That's kind of another poop story.
But wait a minute. Didn't you have pierogies while you were in?
I had pierogies while I was waiting at the airport and like 9 beers. So that, on top of that, too.
Oh, it's all
I brought a poop home from, I brought it home from Poland. I brought that poop home.
You brought a poop home?
I brought a poop
home. You had...
It's the way he's looking at me.
Literally,
wait, you carried you poop it? Over international waters?
I literally...
He did.
You don't even get arrested for that, right?
No. Mm-hmm.
You brought shit over...
I literally brought shit.
Ladies
literally.
And gentlemen, you're international pooper, Chris Mattoon.
Yeah, boy.
Well, anyway, I think that we should get into our cocktail because...
Tommy, didn't you want to mention, though, too, for all of our live listeners, they could call us at...
Yes. Well, listen, we're talking about a lot of stuff. So if you feel that you have something that you can contribute to the show and you want to call us while we're doing this live stream, you can call us at 334-GAY-TALK.
Hell yeah.
That's
and if you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255.
Hi, Ian.
I cannot believe that I remember that.
I'm proud of you.
You got it down. And never mind. I think that's Birmingham.
Alabama?
Is it Birmingham, Alabama?
Well, it's Alabama. It's
yeah, but I was watching Drunk History, which if anyone's listening from it, I really think I need to be on your show. I think I'm a perfect candidate. I love alcohol and history.
But the only thing is that, you know, your history, it's like current. Because you walk around like just in a state of alcohol.
But that's funny because I'm going to bring a new segment on that I didn't even tell him about, but we can get to that one a little bit later.
I got a quick story before we get into our cocktail. So yesterday I walk into the bathroom and I'm peeing and he walks in and we were at the bar and he's like, oh, great, it's you. And then he starts peeing and he's like, ugh. And I'm like, oh, you're peeing like you're drunk. He goes, I haven't even had a drink. I said, well, you're certainly not talking like you haven't had
yeah,
a drink.
He totally did. I'm like, I'm fine. It's like, you sound like you are. I'm like, oh.
I was like, yeah, okay.
That's all right. I Ubered home. I didn't drive. I'm very responsible about it.
No, and I think we had a lovely night. Like Nick had mentioned before, I started doing karaoke Sundays at our partner's cafe. And, you know, we had a really good crowd. And Chris was drinking. And so was
I. Was working. I was not drinking.
And, you know, a lot of shit happened. But, you know, let's talk about our cocktail.
And it's perfect because apple juice gives me super gas. So it kind of goes with pooping. And today we're doing the Anita Bryant.
Yay.
Yay.
No. Yeah. We hate her, but we love the cocktail.
That's the whole idea.
Okay.
The Anita Bryant. Anita Bryant was a bitch that was the... She was like... I think they called her actually the ambassador for Florida Citrus. So... And she was an actress or a singer... And she was also an anti-LGBT activist.
Like she was a mess.
Yeah. Well, she went out of her way to openly discriminate and push people to discriminate against LGBT people.
Cursive.
And it's fucking elegant. Yeah. So, in response to her, Stonewall and other gay establishments were boycotting orange juice. And they made the cocktail the Anita Bryant, which it consists of vodka and apple juice. And
you know how much gays drink. I mean, let's be honest here.
Exactly.
So it's really all vodka and just a splash of apple juice.
But they had a lot of the apple juice. And it hurt their Florida Citrus sales so much that she ended up losing her job. And it just ruined her career. So we will drink to those gays
stepping up against that girl. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I can't reach.
And Dave has Dewars and water.
Yeah, I'm not drinking apple juice.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, my stomach's been like blah, 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 for the past hour. I'm like, apple juice.
So you know, we were supposed to have Bobby Edwards on the show. And unfortunately, that didn't come through this week. But, you know, in 2 weeks, we'll have him. But, you know, we said, okay, so there's so much that happened throughout this past week that we could cover on the show. And we could actually go through and not leave this table until we absolutely cover everything that we feel is important in our community at this point in time to talk about. So I wanted to, you know, bring light this would be our international segment of our show. Bring light to the fact that ABC has reported that Chechnya police arrested over 100 men on suspicion of being gay and have literally reported that 3 of them have been killed. And so the story goes on to say that they're literally rounding up gay men in this country that's, you know, being influenced by Russia and the Kremlin and Putin. And they're literally slaughtering gay men. And this is just absolutely horrible.
It is horrible. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Chechnya is part of Russia. So Russia has an incredible, like, they have laws out there that being gay in Russia is illegal. And showing gay propaganda is illegal.
But at the same time, like, behind closed doors, it's not really talked about. Or supposedly, from what I understand, it's like they're safe in the seclusion of their own home if they are gay. You know what I mean?
Unless they know. Unless other people know.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, yeah. They will... There is a documentary out there. I forget the name. It's like Hunted. It's called something about Hunted. And it's about people go out of their way. Police officers will turn around. They won't pay attention if someone is getting beaten to death because they're gay. I know, and you know, in New Haven, we have people from all over the world here. And like Yale students who come in that are Russian, I've talked to them about it. I'm like, they are not at home. They're in their head, they're gay. In their heart, they're gay. But they can't talk about it. It's just non-existent. It's not possible out there.
And it's sad to think that you as an individual have no voice where you are. Mm-hmm. And it makes me appreciate more the fact that I'm an American and that I live in America. Although our climate, our political climate right now is just in shit.
Oh, yeah.
No pun intended. Squatty potty.
Yeah, that's the theme of it. But even here, we can have an openly gay police officer. Like, it's the exact opposite right there. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So, Hartman, can I ask you a question? Yes. So, you're here on the show with us. Let's say you were in Chechnya, and you were a police officer there. What would you do? What would go through your mind when they say to you, when a fellow officer in this corrupt government, hypothetically speaking, of course, and they said to you...
Well, it's nothing hypothetical. Yeah. It's a corrupt government. It's a dictatorship.
But you being there, hypothetically you being there saying, let's do this, let's go target these people, let's do it. What would your reaction be?
As a police officer in Chechnya?
Yes.
I would do exactly what the police officers in Chechnya are doing. And it sounds horrible to say, but you're dealing with something that's foreign to us. I can't really give that a proper answer.
Yeah, of course.
You're living in a country that you don't think for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, this happens in too many places around the world. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you don't exist as a gay person there. Like Chris said, you may be gay in your heart, you may be gay in your mind, but you're not gay in that sense. You're not able to experience what it is to be gay. So you don't have that full experience.
Right.
There are even limits on what people can see online. Mm-hmm. Everything is censored to a certain degree, I'm sure.
The media is state-run.
It's state-run. You know, you don't even have that information. There are probably, I think, one of the saddest things is that people who are gay in countries like that probably are very confused more than anything else. Mm-hmm. You know?
And the suicide rate must be...
It's got to be
through
crazy.
The roof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Through the roof.
It's sad to think, though.
I was watching something the other day about Russia, and it's such a white country. There is like no diversity there, and I feel like part of it is they just want to keep it so sterile, almost like anything that's different or out of the box or not normal, they like shut down. I don't get it, because like we said it last week. I mean, from diversity, from culture, from art, you breed beautiful life. I mean, this country is like, it's sort of like dead inside, kind of like when I work all night and then I go to work the next morning. I'm dead inside. Mm. Like, I feel like that's Russia. It's just dead inside, and this guy is just running this country.
It's an oligarchy. There are just...
Yeah, exactly.
There's a person running it. It's his playground. Everybody are just pawns in it.
And yeah. People that, you know, surrounds himself with people, with yes people, people who will cater to his every need, every want, every...
And terrified to say no.
Exactly.
It's not even that they're saying yes out of getting some reward. They're saying yes to not be killed.
Shot. Yeah, exactly. And Vladimir Putin is, he's incredibly against westernizing. Like, mm-hmm. He does not want to become part of the Western world. And was it Elizabeth the Great? That was she German or was she from England? And she, during the Tsar times, she came over... Like during Imperial Russia, she came over and she tried to start westernizing Russia. And that was like the closest they ever got to it. But Vladimir Putin, nationalist, we are Russian. We will not be part of the Western world.
Well, and another thing that you have to think about, too, is that anyone, even within his whole government, who opposes him either ends up dead or has to leave.
One was just killed last week.
Yeah, it's
or 2 weeks ago. Sad.
You know what's crazy, too? It's like you see all these things, like all these terrorist attacks that have been happening around the world. There was one that happened today. Well,
St. Petersburg. Yes.
Right. And in my head, I was like, oh, that's horrible. But then I was also like, who was on that train? You know what I mean? Was it really a terrorist attack, or was it the government trying to get rid of something?
I thought the same thing, and I said to
myself,
"Still
a terrorist
attack."
Yeah, exactly. I guess you're right.
Perpetrated by your own government.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. And you know, and the only thing I can say, because you know, we do have listeners in Russia. I will say that, and because the numbers don't lie, we get numbers. We've got IP addresses that record and tell us where people are listening from. Not to the extent that we know where they live or anything like that. It's just we get general numbers of where our listeners are coming from, and Russia is one of those countries in where we have listeners. And this is what I say to you: be strong. Never, ever, ever give up in what it is that you believe in. You know, there is no wrong that could last over 100 years.
And at the end of the day, Putin can only live for so long.
My point.
There will be change. And just keep knowing that love does win.
There is an opposition person right now running against Putin in the upcoming elections. And
he'll
literally
be dead in a week.
Thank you.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Trying. Sorry. And I that wasn't meant as a jab. I'm telling you that this country throughout history has come back to the roots that it has now. It has come back to this oppressive place. You know, even under Gorbachev, there was hope.
Mm-hmm. With Gorbachev,
they're
that
trying
was like the last
to literally
sense
bring
of hope.
This man down. Yeah. They have charged him with phony felonies to disqualify him from being able to run, and he is still doing what he needs to do. And
they're taking the lead from our last presidential election.
Exactly,
phony.
Well, exactly, but see the reason I can understand that it got to this level is, okay, so the Soviet, you know, the Berlin Wall fell in 1989. In 1991, the Soviet Union collapses. You know, 15 different states are made out of it, 15 plus, and Boris Yeltsin? Yeltsin takes over. He's a partier. He's corrupt. He's an alcoholic.
He resigned.
Vladimir Putin was a deputy mayor, I believe it was, of St. Petersburg. And then President Yeltsin appointed Vladimir Putin to, I believe, prime minister. And then...
Well, he was president first.
No. But because of the current laws. Yeltsin was president, and he promoted Putin to prime minister. And to keep him from going into... Yeah, I'm not there yet. To keep Boris Yeltsin himself from going to prison for corruption, he resigned and gave Putin power. So they became like the little butt buddy thing right there. And that's when Putin took over. So he took over when Russia was down on its fucking knees. I believe it was 1999 that Putin took power and then gave it to Medvedev and then took it back.
When Putin took power, he was president. Then it became clear that the current laws and the way everything was structured, he could not remain president for several terms. So then he became prime minister.
He gave power to Medvedev, his hand-selected man, because you can only run 2 consecutive terms as president in Russia, but there's no limit of total time serving. You can run your 2 terms. Then he stepped down to prime minister, put his puppet Medvedev in as president, and then won the next election.
And then he had the laws changed, and only one individual voted against him in that legislation, and that individual is now dead.
I was gonna say he must be dead.
And so the issue becomes that, you know, now he's again president, and he plans to stay there as long as he can. And I think, you know, what I want to say to my brothers and sisters in Russia is don't lose hope. You know, it was only in 1960 that we were in the same boat. We were fighting for our rights. You know, you look at incidents like Stonewall and everything that took place in San Francisco, and we fought hard and we earned our rights. Don't lose hope. Fight, fight, fight. That's all I can say.
Because then one day you'll be able to queen the fuck out like me.
Like that bitch. So anyway.
Well, the only thing I'd add to that to say to our friends in Russia is get out.
Yeah, yes, that too.
If you find the door,
get the fuck
open
out.
Open it and get out.
Absolutely.
Dave. I agree.
Because, you know, I wish I was as optimistic that things are going to change for the better there. I think even if it starts changing soon, in the next few years, say, I still think there's such a road ahead. And Russia is, like you said, it's a state-run government. It's almost void of religion in that sense, too. So you're dealing with nationalist crazies. Mm-hmm. You're not even dealing with right-wing Christian
religious
crazy,
fanatics or anything like that. Yeah. Know, or right-wing, yeah, that's good.
Or fanatical Muslim crazy. You're not dealing with these people who are basing it on something else.
They're basing it on their own egos. They're basing it on their own beliefs.
They're basing it on what their leader is telling
them. Yeah. And that's fine if you want to run away and run and because that's what's going to keep you alive and healthy, do it. But somebody's got to fight.
And it's not even...
Because, I mean, think about what happened in 1960, what happened at Stonewall. What if we ran? What if we didn't
fight? I agree with
what
you're saying, Tommy, but I don't think it's really equatable in that sense to Stonewall. There were not military people gunning down hundreds of gay people on Christopher Street.
That's correct.
It was a struggle to be gay.
People got beat up.
But it wasn't genocide.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you for using the word genocide.
I mean, but, and there's nothing. The fight has to start somewhere,
right,
is what
I'm
saying. And
I agree.
And whether it's underground or not, I just say, don't lose hope. That's
all
I'm saying.
And like what Dave said, it's not, get out. It's not running from something. It's running to something. Like, there is a safe, happy place you can have a real life. It's not running away from a problem. It's running to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I would stay away from Middle America if you choose to come here, but the East Coast and the West Coast, meccas, and they're fun.
Yeah, don't go to Alabama.
Even though
that's our phone number.
There. That's which, right, by the way, again, if you want to, call us, again, that phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. That's 334-429-8255. The phone lines are open. You can call us.
I said,
give us a little piece of your mind. In the meantime, we're going to move it along, boys. There are some other stories. There was something in the news about gays for Trump. Nick, that was your story?
That's a Trish story.
Yeah, totally. I just feel like we're so down right now. Should we talk about the penguins?
Yes, talk about the penguins. Talk about the penguins.
Well, let's talk about the penguins.
Make it exciting.
Okay. All right. So I thought this was the cutest story ever. So the headline reads, "Gay penguins steal eggs from straight couples." And so, of course,
look at how adorable these are.
Of course, the first thing I do is click on this article. So there, I'm just going to read some stuff from this article. There are numerous examples of homosexuality in the animal kingdom, but gay penguins have captured the public's attention for more than any other species.
Why?
Because they're adorable.
Because they're
one. Well, they're birds that don't fly.
And also, penguins are, they mate for life. So you see a gay couple, and it's an actual gay penguin couple. It's not like they had gay sex and then they moved on. You know what I mean? They mate for life, so they're together.
So they can't be gay.
So they're penguin unicorns.
Yes.
These two particular penguins
are
unicorns.
Because they have to be unicorns. Here's the thing. I don't think it's not just this one couple. So these gay penguins have to be segregated at these zoos, which sounds fucked up, but it's actually, it kind of makes sense because they are stealing. They're stealing the heterosexual penguins' eggs and replacing the eggs with pebbles and walking away because they want to build a family.
It's so great. It's such a team effort. Like, one of them walks up and is like, "Hey, girl, how are you?" And, like, the other one grabs the egg and puts a pebble there.
I got the egg, girl. Run, waddle.
And they waddle back. So during the season where everybody's laying eggs and, the males generally sit on the eggs with the eggs the entire time, they have to put the gay penguins in a fenced-off area so they don't steal the eggs. However...
That's Trish.
Hey.
That's so Trish.
You know what you're doing, though? You're falling into Pence's argument on same-sex marriage.
No, I'm not.
You absolutely are, because Pence said gay marriage will lead to dog marriage. All right, he's equating it to animals.
I'm not saying that these penguins should get married. What I'm saying is that this is behavior.
I hope Pence doesn't hear that we're talking about penguins being gay. Because he's going to think he's right,
And as soon as we're done with this penguin, story, we got a story on the Pences.
Well, here's the thing. I don't
tally
want
it up.
You all know me, and you all know that I would never try to take any steps back for the gay right movement. I think that this is adorable, and what I'm coming at from this is that in our world, in our gay world, we can have surrogate mothers, we can build a family, we can adopt. In this world, these penguins cannot. So what they're doing is what any basic animal would do, and they're trying to build their own family.
You tried. What happened?
Well, There was a story too a while back. I don't remember if it was penguins or not. But
it's so funny. I didn't realize this one was going to bring a debate.
I think this is great because it's not a slippery slope to rampant interspecies coupling, right? And this isn't really interspecies coupling.
I'm so happy you're back.
When women got the right to vote, it didn't lead to hamsters voting. No court has extended the equal protection clause to salmon. And for the record, all marriages are same-sex marriages. You get married, and every night it's the same sex.
Yes! Well, I love you back on the show.
Is it the same sex every night? Is it, though?
Well, you're in a new
relationship.
Well,
if you're Trish, you get creative.
Yeah, that's true.
That bitch has a fucking hang glider in her room.
So, you know, penguins bring up another point, if I may.
And then we can go
deep. We can go right to your penguin things. So I'm trying to lose some weight. So I was thinking, you know, the two things they tell you to eat are chicken and fish. And you know what they should do? They should combine the two, which means we're going to have to eat penguins.
As long as they're not gay penguins.
Well, you know, they're trying to start a family.
Because I'll be that crazy bitch on the side in the zoo with, like, signs, save the gay penguins.
I'll be like, can you fry her extra crispy?
Meanwhile, there's like lesbian puffins going, what the fuck about me? You're like, this is ridiculous.
That's true.
I'm flightless and aquatic, for fuck's sake.
That's true, actually. I don't think I've ever seen a story about lesbian penguins. Where are the lesbian penguins?
You just got like five more emails from lesbians to you, yeah. Trish, for that one.
Yeah.
Good emails.
There's got to be lesbian penguins out there.
Speaking of that, okay, we need to address that because we got a really, really cute
Facebook
post. On our post talking about our live stream, right? So
I love when you speak sometimes, Tom.
Let me try and read this because Chris's cocktails has got me cocked right now. So we have this wonderful, amazing young woman send us a message, and she said, thank you guys for creating this podcast. I love it. I binged, listened to it. To all the episodes, when I started my boring job, you guys make me laugh. You guys make me cry. You inspire me to get more involved in the LGBT community. So this summer, my fiance and I are going to do a pride tour. We are taking people that are new to our community and just curious to their first prides. Thank you all so much. P.S. I love you, Trish.
Aww. Thanks, girl. What was her name again?
Her name was Alicia.
Alicia, thank you. That was very sweet of
you. So she loves Trish, and so that's why I said, because even our girl, you know, Jess Brannis, fucking loves Trish. Can't get enough of Trish. I don't know what it is. Are you secretly a lesbian and we didn't know about it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. Like, I don't like vagina.
He has a strap on.
Well, so there's that.
I don't have a strap on. Okay. I have a double sided dildo.
Oh.
There's a difference.
I had a strap on. I found a strap on once and I put it on my forehead and ran around the room like a rhinoceros for a while.
Can we just take a moment?
A unicorn.
Can we just take a moment? This man works for the New Haven Police Department.
And what I love most, you are the liaison for the media liaison for the New Haven Police Department. And you know what? He is one of the best people you will ever meet in your life. He's so funny. He's witty. He will give you the shirt off his back. And that's why we love having him on the show all the time. Any opportunity we can actually take to snag him and sit him on our table, we do. And it's awesome.
He's at a chair at the table.
I have a chair today.
You know what I just realized?
What?
What?
A couple of weeks ago, our signature cocktail was an aviation.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We've been talking about hanging out for maybe 5 years now and having aviations, and we actually had that as a signature cocktail.
You see?
So nice.
And we had... Oh, God.
What's next?
We had Brandon Salerno actually on that episode.
Oh, that was right for him. Yeah, because
Flying high with Charlie.
That's right. Flight attendant.
Yeah. And so we did that. So listen, so we should jump into our Angels and Assholes, right? And then when we come back, we're going to have a lot more dish because we have plenty of time to discuss a lot of the things that are going on in our world. So I'm going to, should I give you some love, Trish? Are you ready for your love?
Yes, unless I want to do one more thing before we go on a break.
Sure. You always do this. So
I know. I was like, pretty sure that should be in the notes. Trish interrupts.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just like, I just like see things and I want to talk about them and I get a little crazy.
Bring it, boo.
Hold on. I was reading an article. I was reading an article about gender identity terms.
Will be in like 15 minutes. Go ahead.
No, so I decided that. So I decided after reading the article that I would take a new term each week and just say what it is and give a definition for it. So I'm
Hopefully
going so that
right
so,
off a cliff.
So we're educating people a little bit this week. So the first gender identity term for you is agender. Agender is a term I've never heard of. But this term is for people whose gender identity and expression does not align with man, woman, or any other gender. A similar term used for gender neutral penguins. I mean, gender neutral. So I want to go through. It's a list of about 15, I think. But I think it's really important that the LGBTQ community is informed as to what these actually are. Because I hear the terms often, but I don't know what they mean.
I like how he points something out. And he says, hey, guys, we're going to talk about this. And then here's what the note says. The gender identity term you need to know. See pages.
Yep.
Where's the pages? I don't have pages.
Well, there's no way to attach a document to the notes.
Are we
explaining
this?
Like,
it just goes to show you how we go through our little formula to like communicate with each other on what we're talking about. I'm like, it says see pages, and I'm like, well, I can't see the page, bitch. Copy and paste.
The reason I love coming on this podcast is because I've always wanted to know what life would be like on another planet.
This motherfucker.
We're a fucking experiment for this one.
All right. So before he gives me love, I'm going to read that to you one more time. Agender, a term for people whose gender identity and expression does not align with man, woman, or any other gender. A similar term used by some is gender neutral.
Oh, yay. I can't wait to get to cisgender.
You just
anyway.
Me all wet.
Let me give Trish some love and he can start.
Get her.
Now I gotta scroll back through everything. Hold on.
I'm so excited for this one.
All right, so the following person has been chosen to be our honorary asshole.
Why?
Karen Pence.
Ooh.
Why, you ask?
Why?
So, Vice President Mike Pence's wife, Karen Pence, once complained that a newspaper was promoting homosexuality by including an LGBT helpline. Cunt. The piece alleges that Miss Pence is the driving force of her husband's famously extreme anti-LGBT views, which I can kind of understand because I do think he's gay. In the letter, which the newspaper published, Miss Pence claims that the coverage encourages children to think that they're gay or lesbian if they have a close relationship with a child of the same sex. She added, I only pray that most parents were able to intercept your article before their children were encouraged to call themselves gay or lesbian, or call the Gay or Lesbian Youth Hotline, which encourages them to accept their homosexuality instead of reassuring them that they are not. For her bigotry, for her stupidity, and for her not being my second first lady, you're an asshole.
I got it.
You did get it, Dave.
Nice. Welcome to the fold, Dave. Okay.
That was a good one.
Well, you know what? I think we should start Melissa over for that one. Because we're going to need a longer break for this. So, I would like to dedicate this episode to Gilmari Rodriguez Sullivan. She was 24 years old. The Orlando Sentinel reported the following. Gilmari was a mother of two. She was married to Juan Borges. She was originally from Puerto Rico, but relocated to Kissimmee, Florida. She was out for a night of fun with her brother-in-law, William Borges, and friend, Jonathan Camuy. Burgess, her brother-in-law, was the only one of the three that survived that evening. The trio started their night at another club earlier in the evening. Her brother-in-law recalls her saying, let's go to a gay club because they're killing people at other clubs. Eerie words, considering that the place that she thought she'd be safe the most ended up being the place where she lost her life. Whew. We dedicate this episode to her. Her name is Gilmari Rodriguez Sullivan. May she rest in peace. We're going to take a break. This is Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. Love will always win.
underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Once again I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down? Can't kill the truth that it's inside of us. It's inside our blood. It's inside of us. I am human. I am love. And my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human. I am love. And my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
So you say this is human. Heartbeat versus mine. I'm in chains cause I'm choosing. Showing love for living life. I shouldn't have to leave where I stand. I shouldn't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Oh, feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Oh, I wish I could reach them. Strip away what separates. It's the same air we're breathing. Same tears run down our face. So I don't have to leave where I stand. And I don't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse.
Welcome back from the break. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, and that was also Feel My Pulse by Eli Lieb and Brandon Ski. I hope I said his last name right. But either way, as we announced earlier, at the beginning of the show, our interview with CEO and co-creator of Squatty Potty, Mr. Bobby Edwards, has been rescheduled. He will be joining us in 2 weeks on April 17th to talk about, you know, his wonderful, amazing product. So we're back. So we're just going to keep continuing to dish and do what we do best.
So I just got a funny post on Facebook.
Did you know?
Yes, I did. Oh, so Lord. Drea Richard, we all know who she is.
Oh, hey, girl.
I love Drea. How are you? She just posted a picture of her and Schmo. And it reads, "Is it a skull necklace or glitter? Nick Bussett, your husband has one for you too." And it's a picture of them two with him with the skull necklace on.
Well, show us.
For our listeners, if you don't know, the skull necklace is how Schmo proposed to me on the Idiots radio show when we went down there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm still waiting for when you said, I'm like afraid I'm going to wake up and the necklace is going to be on my nightstand.
I know, right?
So there was some breaking news today, being that, you know, we're coming back and we're doing all this amazing dish. The Democratic Senate announced today that they got the votes to be able to filibuster the nomination for Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Oh no, he said it's Gorsuch.
Oh well.
Yeah. He corrected people at this point. But anyway, they got the votes they need to be able to go through with the filibuster. But the problem becomes now that if they do that, will the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, go nuclear? And what I mean by that is they have what they call a nuclear option, and where because they have a majority in the Senate, they can actually change the rules. And instead of making it 60 votes that they need to confirm this particular justice to the court, they could actually do less because he has the power to change the rules. And, you know, when you look at the Senate Minority Leader, and help me out here, what's his name?
Mitch McConnell.
No, that's the Senate Majority Leader. The Minority Leader
Minority. I was like, didn't
the you? Minority, good, the yeah. minor one, the minor one, the little one.
The no, Republicans he's from don't New York. Know what he's... minority means.
That's sad, but yeah.
Chuck Schumer. Thank you.
Oh, there
she anyway, he says that, you know, the problem with the Republicans is that if they change they shouldn't change the rules. If he does not get the 60 votes like every other justice has gotten for the past 8 or 12 years, you don't change the rules. You change the nominee. Get another nominee. Put Merrick Garland back.
That was his name. We were trying to have that conversation. That's so sad that I actually forgot his name.
You know, and to me, this is a stolen seat, and no matter which way you slice or dice it, Merrick Garland should have gotten what this man is getting right now. And he should have gotten a vote.
And he's a popular person. He really is.
And he
should have at least gotten a hearing.
He should have.
And they didn't even give him that, which...
Not one.
So they didn't do their I'm doing it.
Due diligence.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it for you. What do you know about Gorsuch? I don't know much about him.
Gorsuch is someone who, first of all, beating Gorsuch in a popularity contest is like beating Stephen Hawking at Dancing with the Stars. It's not really going to be that tough, right?
I never know his line. I love your lines.
He's just an unpopular person. He has unpopular views, but he's very polished. That makes him a dangerous person. He's very polished.
Because you'll never know what he means.
You think it's all scripted, and it's not. He just, He knows what he wants to say, and he says it effortlessly. So, you know, people have to read between the lines
there. Well, the problem that arises because of that is the fact that he sat through these hearings. There are 4 days of hearings and all these questions, and he really didn't answer anything.
Right.
And all that the senators can do on this committee was go on
his... First, my apologies to Stephen Hawking.
But honestly, though, I mean, through appointing everybody that's been appointed to the cabinet, the same fucking thing happened. No one was answering any questions. They were just walking around every fucking issue.
Betsy DeVos, is that DeVos or whatever?
DeVos.
DeVos, that's terrible.
Fuck her.
She didn't answer anything.
Anyway,
she can't.
Well, that's the problem. They're not answering anything.
No, but when you look at people like, for example, Sonia Sotomayor, when you look at Elena Kagan, when you look at all of the justices that have been appointed to the Supreme Court, even during Obama's administration or even during Bush's administration, they all got 60 votes. So now, because, you know, the Democrats got the 41 votes they need to filibuster this, there's a possibility that Mitch McConnell can change the rules. Because he can. And the argument becomes, why should you change the rules? Change the nominee. If we don't agree that this is the person that should be on the Supreme Court, just like you held up Merrick Garland, give us somebody else that we could possibly look at.
I mean, why really the question? I mean, we all know why.
There is no why.
I mean,
they're going to do what they're going to do.
The Republicans want and have control. They want to basically take over. Which they've already done.
This man is...
They are going to do everything in their power to fuck the liberals.
They are. And this man is an extremely conservative man, disguised as someone who's very pretty. He's very easy on the eyes, and people can overlook certain things, certain extremist things about him, because he's pretty. He's a pretty boy. And that's dangerous, because you have to think about... This is one of the only positions in our government that is not run by a term. This is a lifetime appointment.
Correct.
Until this person decides they want to resign, they're in
retire
there for
life. Or die.
So they could potentially shape the very next 20 years of our lives and our struggles and our fight in that court, because they could be that swing vote. And I mean, I know I made light of this the last time, that when Scalia died, marriage equality passed even with Scalia in office or in his seat. So really that swing vote became Justice Kennedy. And he's the one that really turned things over for us in our favor. But getting a conservative judge really just means that, you know, we're just going to end up with the court that we had before.
Right. But I do want to point out that when I was watching the first days of the hearings, other than when he said no one is above the law, including the president, other than that, he also said, if President Trump asked me to overturn Roe v. Wade, I would have turned around and walked out of the room. So that's where I'm wondering. I just don't know. Like, I don't know enough about him. I think I need to start doing more research to see how conservative he really is.
I just think he's all talk. And
he could, like,
you mentioned something last week, and you said that you admired the fact that Ryan.
I wouldn't have used admired, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You said that, you know, you gave him an acknowledgement for the fact that he got out there and went out there and said that Obamacare was the law of the land. When I heard that back, I was like, fuck that motherfucker. And here's why. Because he may have said that to put face, but the moment he gets an opportunity to get Obamacare on the chopping block,
he
is going to take it again.
Oh, absolutely.
So no, I'm not going to give him kudos for going up on that goddamn podium and saying that, you know what, Obamacare is the law of the land. It's the law of the land until we allow it not to be the
correct.
Law of the
well,
land.
That's how law
so
works.
I will say this to Paul Ryan, fuck you. That's what I'm going to say.
At least you didn't call him a cunt.
I know. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it. It just came
you,
out.
Dude.
I know that we were trying to be reformed
with that word. I
literally
looked at Dave. I was like,
so, you know, that's all I have to say. So, yeah, I'm happy that, you know, you felt that way during the last episode, and I'm not taking away from your point.
No, I know that, yeah.
But I got a little upset because I'm, you know what? Fuck him. Seriously, because...
I wasn't saying I like the guy.
I'm not saying that you're going to... Well, he is easy on the eyes. There's another easy on the eyes policy. I've said this before. You know, I don't care how much of a Republican...
Yeah, Justin Trudeau's not ours.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
we
care
wish
how much of a Republican
I know how
Paul
much
Ryan
you
is
like seeing John Kasich eat pancakes, but he's not that easy on the eyes.
Who? I liked him, though, actually.
Yeah. They're all idiots. They're just all idiots. And I'll tell you what, if Trump wants to do something right, if he were able to capture idiocy as energy, we would have a sustainable source of energy for eternity.
Are you kidding me? It would be like the motherfucking sun.
Absolutely. We'd be going, ooh, it's hot out here.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, it's hot out here, girl.
Chomp, you're hot. You're hot, motherfucker. You're hot. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. So you know what? If you have any say whatsoever, and you can call your representatives, your senators in your area, make sure that your voice is heard. Call them. Let them know how you feel. This is important. This is going to shape the next 25 years, potentially the next 25 years of our lives in that court. So make your voice heard.
We just better hope that the notorious RBG stays healthy.
Ruth, I've said this many times. Yeah. I'm like, girl, I will give you every organ that I have in my body that's not affected by alcohol.
I was going to say, maybe not Tommy's organs.
Well, my organs are not that bad.
Well, definitely not mine. Definitely not mine. Tommy's got, how many years do you have on me, Tom?
Enough. I will give you.
I keep digging.
I will give you everything except my asshole and my cock. You can have anything you want.
Oh, and my then, Lord. And then we just... And then
can't we just keep things
crass.
Nice?
Well, no,
can't
I'm
we
just
keep things nice?
Those are just things that I just refuse to donate. I'm like, just bury
and people refuse
those
to accept. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean that a mean way. Okay, when I said that sounded bad.
Oh, shit.
When that came out, it sounded...
My lips went up.
You know what's funny? I turned the dagger around. So if Tom and I both grab for it this time, I still get the sword and you get the sheath.
Sleeve. Fuck her. But anyway.
You're a pretty girl, Tom.
I know. Thank you. Isn't my curly locks like beautiful?
You just made Ian's mom scream. They're listening live right now.
What did I do?
You know what you did.
What?
You talked about your asshole and your penis.
Oh. You're still doing it.
Ian's mother.
Deb, sign off.
Deb.
Okay, keep it going.
So I will say this. Deb, kudos to you. You are super, super, super mom because you're super accepting and we love you for it. Thank you so much for tuning into our show. Thank you so much for loving our co-host, Trish, to death. We call him Trish.
She invited me to Easter.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I said yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I would hope you did too. And Ian, if he gives you shit, you call me. That's all I gotta say. So to Deb, kudos. Applause for Deb.
Yay, Deb.
Yay, Deb. So anyway, so what else have we got, boys?
What do you got for us, Dave?
Oh, he's got notes.
Let's talk about Trump again.
Okay. When in Rome.
Oh, speed dial.
Uh oh. Is somebody calling in?
No.
Oh.
No. No. I got a text message from someone. Speed dial.
So I think one of the things I wanted to say about Trump is, again, I don't think we should be surprised at all with what's going on.
Not at all.
You know, it's hard to get mad at Donald Trump for saying stupid things in the same way you don't get mad at a monkey when he throws poop at you at the zoo.
That's true.
But what should get us angry is the ridiculous, disingenuous defending of the poop-throwing monkey. And I read a very interesting, or I listened to a very interesting thing, I think it was on Bill Maher, where he was equating Trump to the film Sunset Boulevard. Who was the actress portrayed in Sunset Boulevard? I can't think of it. I want to say Marlene Dietrich, but it was actually a fictitious person. But it was this old, haggard, has-been movie star from decades earlier, and she's surrounded by these minions of just yes people and people who are making her feel like she's doing all right. And I think it's so weird that Trump is still going out there to these like election rallies post-election.
Well, he's already working on his next 4 years.
He's
it's
the
like
first president
he hasn't
ever.
Even
absolutely
finished.
Ridiculous.
Well, he's the first
he
president
needs to be built up like this.
Well, he's the first president to ever reapply for
his next term. Even before
the day of inauguration.
Yeah, seriously,
he reapplied for a second term for presidency. The day of his inauguration?
Yes. First president to ever do that.
Yes.
I think it's much worse than that. I think it's that he's so insecure.
He's a narcissist.
He's not even done ruining our country.
He needs to see the people. Because he's going to get so many. I mean, the president of the United States, no matter who you are, you're going to get criticism. So he needs to have that constant buildup.
And he
Ian,
uses
just let
it
me know that it's Gloria Swanson, by the way.
He uses these rallies to be able to not apologize for things he's doing. You know, he just he will never apologize. He's never wrong, no matter what crazy things he says. He's the white Kanye. That's what we want to like about this.
Sorry, Cam. Sorry, Cam. No, here's what I've said this before. It's like, you know, you're right, David. You're right. It's we cannot be surprised with the shit that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth only because we've known Donald Trump to be Donald Trump all of his life. He is a narcissistic individual, someone who seeks attention, must have attention. And when he doesn't and he's not in control, he fucking loses it. That's who he is. That's who we elected. What we need to be worried about is the people that surround him, the people Absolutely. That steer him, the people that say, I have your strings, motherfucker. I'm going to send you here. I'm going to send you there. Those are the people.
Even like, more so, the people are going, you don't need any strings. You're doing great.
Yes.
Oh, my
you
know? God.
Manifold. And it's like,
all Trump needs.
He thinks he's garnering support from people he didn't have from before. He went to Detroit recently, and he stood in front of, you know, whatever United Auto Workers union people he could get together on stage with him. You know, I mean, the last time Republicans had met that many black people on stage, they were selling them. So, I mean, this is like, you know,
this
fucking idiot thinks that we're being fooled by this is absolutely crazy. And he does.
He thinks
he really does.
He genuinely believes that. It's insane. It's sickening.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Charnel, if you're calling, if you're listening, call us.
Please.
Call us and chim in because I
He's already typing the numbers. He's like, what was the area code for Alabama again?
334-429-8255. Call us, please, if you're listening, because it's true. It's, you know, I don't understand. Listen, if you are a union member, I'm a union member in my employment, and I will say this. This Republican body of government, this House, this Senate, this president, is not going to look after your job. You have the power to negotiate your own salaries, your own well-being, and a lot of the benefits that you as an individual union member can muster with your own companies. They're going to take that away from you. Don't sleep on them. Do not even think for a second that they're going to give you anything that you wish for that you cannot give to yourself with your own voice. These people are not in government for you. They're in government for themselves. And it's very evident at this point with all of the things that he's doing and all of the businesses that he has that are benefiting from his presidency. That is just clear.
I think it's pretty funny, though. There was so did anybody watch President Trump address the nation?
Yes. Not?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so
I skipped it.
So my favorite was when he said two words and then walked off. But because he can't fucking speak or read. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Was this the one where he forgot?
I don't know.
To sign the executive orders that he was...
No.
Oh.
I saw that today. Yeah.
No, he walked out after he like said his like five words and literally forgot a folder on his desk and Pence had
that's
to like...
That's the one.
Yeah,
Had to puppet and go back and pick it up and walk out. But it was just the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
Literally, what ended up happening there was that he forgot to actually sign the executive orders that he was there to sign.
That's the one thing he knows how to do.
How do you forget it? They give you like 20 pens and you have to sign with each one.
He got distracted.
Like, oh, there's just a stack of... Are these for like keeps? Like, can I just have these pens? Like... How?
He got distracted and literally walked away and Pence was
he got
like, a little doggy. Oh, you forgot to sign these. Well, bring them to me. Bring them to me. And he was little like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, basically.
He literally wanted to get out of there. And I was like, holy shit. I'm like, this man is leading our country. What the hell did we get ourselves into?
Good luck, everybody else.
Yeah. No, you know, and
my favorite.
And I,
so good.
And I said this before. I'm really, really, really proud of the Netherlands for not allowing an asshole like Donald Trump, their version of Donald Trump.
Wilders, I believe is Wilders, his last name. Yep.
Being elected into their what do they have? Prime
minister? Prime minister, I think. I believe the Netherlands has a prime minister.
So I'm you know, I'm shout out big
Chief Eskimo.
Big up to the people of the Netherlands.
Hi, Bonnie, you guys, if you listen to us.
Got it right. Seriously.
So, Donald Trump. All right. So, since we're on the topic, let's talk about gays for Trump.
Oh, the perfect. Perfect. We are champions of segues.
And
I can give us that.
But no, actually, this is not really about them. What it's about is, so, In August of 2016, obviously, Gays for Trump tweeted this. There is no question in my mind at real Donald Trump will protect all Americans regardless of race or sexual orientation. However,
when was this?
This was during
this
the campaign.
This was in August. August 26, 2016.
Bitch, we're in April. How's that going
so,
for you?
So my question to Gays for Trump is, do you still feel that way? Because what happened this week? He gutted LGBT protections for employees of federal contractors. So Trump rescinded fair pay, safe workplaces, the executive order 13673 by President Obama. He also is cutting funding for the National Institution of Health, which is, they donate $300 million to programs that provide help and welfare to people in third world countries that have AIDS and internationally who have AIDS. He also rescinded, in 2020, we have a new census coming out, and they included LGBTQ people in that census, and that has been rescinded, so that will not happen for this upcoming census.
And it's unfortunate because that's very important.
That is very important. And so, Gays for Trump,
how do you feel? Feel free to call us 334-GAY-TALK.
Yeah, we want to hear.
Do you feel protected by your president?
We want to know.
Yeah, because remember when Trump was having one of his rallies and he came up with a flag that said rainbow flag that said LGBT for Trump? It literally looked like they beat up a gay person, stole his flag, and spray painted that on it real quick right before he got on the stage.
Well, they didn't do that. They sent Christians out there to do it.
Hello.
Obviously, someone's got to do the dirty work.
Sorry. I'm just saying, during the whole process, I was like, what are these fucking homos thinking?
You know, that's a really good point that you bring that up, because when we did a live episode, when we did our second live episode at Partners, I worked there. There was someone in the audience that is a Trump supporter, voted for Donald Trump, and still supports, from at least our conversation after the recording, supports Donald Trump.
And I will say this, she is a wonderful person. Right. She's also a member of the transgender community. And I just wanted to mention that.
I'm not talking crap about her or talking down to her, but that's a very valid point. We would love our listeners. I'm sure we do have Trump supporters other than her. So we would love to hear from you. We would love to hear your input. On CNN, they even had a panel of like six people and said, could you grade the current president? Five out of the six gave him an A. The last one gave him a B. So we would like to hear your input. I would have given him a fucking
Can I make an observation?
I would love nothing more than that.
We have, my partner and I have a couple friends who live in Palm Beach, Florida. And
Palm Beach County?
No, Palm Beach, the actual island. Sorry. So, you know, I mean,
I ruin everything.
Not West Palm.
Boom.
But I think one of the issues that people have these are staunch Trump supporters. I think one of the issues is that money talks for them. They are very wealthy and they are in a community that is not entirely gay. There's not much of that in Palm Beach itself. It's old.
Well, they can be gay as long as money talks.
Yeah. Well, I think it has to do with cowardice a little bit. How do you stand up for what you inside truly believe when all of your associations, when all your business associations, when your social life is just filled with people who are so naive and so ultra right wing, whatever it is, be it Christian, be it just ultra right wing Republican. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid to admit.
You know,
because they're on Facebook, they're on social media, and they realize they may lose a business contract. Now, that's a really shitty thing
I think there might
be some truth to some of that.
I agree with that.
For sure, but at the same time, you have to understand. I mean, what I think is happening with situations like that is money corrupts people. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what happens with money. I mean, look at our fearless leader, our orange leader, the Cheeto man. But anyway,
actually,
these people are not standing up for what they like. I don't have a lot of money. I survive and I live a decent life. But if I had that much money and I was worried about things, maybe my opinion would be different. But because I am who I am and I believe so firmly in what I believe, I'm not going to change my point of view. But these people are looking at it from a different perspective. They're looking at it from a financial perspective, mm-hmm. not from a
or
humanity
perspective.
Or
religious, yep.
Or religious.
And you have a good support group. I've known you for years. You at least have like 4 or 5 friends.
So
you have a support group. A lot of people don't have that support group, you know?
Yeah.
If you're in some small, you know, like hump your sister fucking town in the middle of nowhere, you know, how are you going to get out there, with a Bernie Sanders flag? You know, you can't do it. You know, you should do it.
It starts with one person.
But it's not as easy, you know?
You mentioned Bernie Sanders. Mm. Do you know that he came out in support of Donald Trump supporters, defending them?
That's
sort of kind of like...
That's because he defends the American people.
Bernie Sanders,
to the beat of, they're good people, they don't know what they're doing,
They're
American people.
Some of that might be absolutely true.
But I want you, Chris, I'm going to give you a task for our next episode next week. I want you to research all of the comments that he got based on that. And then I want you to assimilate that information and then come back to us before you start defending, because I know you love Bernie.
Yeah. Was this on Twitter?
He's just nonstop. He fights every day. He fights every day.
I was a little disappointed in what he threw out there as far as a comment, but I really would like for you to...
I don't think it was anything, but he supported the right of people to have their opinion.
Exactly.
And to voice their opinion.
Exactly.
Well,
no, that's exactly...
Listen, I'm very anti-religion, all right? I've been outspoken that way for a long, long time, and I understand not only are there members of my family that are religious, but I have a lot of friends who associate with religion steadfastly. And I appreciate that they are able to do what they do, say what
they say. We live in a country that you could do
crazy.
You can believe whatever it is that you want to believe in. But when you have someone like Bernie Sanders, who is the voice of everything anti-Trump, everything, no, this man is not good for this country. And you sit there and you advocate for the decisions that were made by Trump supporters and say, these are good people. When you look at a gay man and you say, these are good people, and these people are the same people that are trying to take your rights, you have to look at Bernie Sanders and say, really?
No, absolutely not. Bernie Sanders, like you just said, is anti-Trump. He's not anti-American voters,
but
he cares about the American people as a whole. That's why he's been the longest running and the longest serving independent.
I'm a little disappointed in the way Bernie handled that.
I will do some more research.
You have not probably been exposed because you didn't know what I was talking about. I want you to look at it, research it, think about what happened in the context of what happened, then come back.
Surely
I want to talk about that next week.
Surely will.
Because I certainly don't want to get into an argument with you defending Bernie, because I know you love the man to death. That is your man. You put him on a mantle, and
I think we need to keep in mind that I don't have another penguin story, so I can't.
We're
going
to lighten up and bring it right back to Stephen Hawking. Can you believe that fucking guy can't even get up?
Oh, you got to apologize again for.
We're going to apologize. Let's talk about Christians.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, I agree with right-wing Christians. I'm not saying Christians in general. Right-wing Christians, absolutely the best way to cure gayness is Christianity.
I think you're right. I mean, just a little, you know, a shock here, a shock there.
Not even that. Yeah. It happens every Sunday in every church across this country. You get on your knees, you take a swig of wine, and you accept, you know, the body of a man who into your mouth. You know?
I accept all gifts that way.
Here, eat this.
Wait. How is that that goes?
Beep.
Penis of Christ.
Beep.
The penis of Christ.
Beep. Amen.
I had a new thing I brought up to Trish today. Like a little fun new segment. I'm still going to keep them. Meanwhile,
in Canada.
But this is not a Canadian fact.
It's funny how he says Trish and not Tom, because... You know,
well, no,
we had lunch.
Me under the bus.
We had lunch. No, I think it's because, you know, our listeners.
As I'm rubbing my nipple.
Yeah, you are. You are going hard at it. You're like, yeah. Okay.
So tell me what is happening. So tell me about this new segment.
Well, so like everyone that listens to the show, and the way I describe Gay Talk 2.0 is the perfect balance of class and trash. We're both informative and distracting at the same time. So we like to be like,
we need fucking Adderall.
Yeah,
we actually need meth.
So, well, I downloaded an app the other day that I'm really surprised I never had, and it's called Today in History.
Like they say, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that. So I want to point out something that happened today in history.
I think I remember that app. I downloaded it like 500 years ago.
I never even love it. Well, that's history right there. But today in history on Tuesday.
I am history.
Tuesday, April 3rd.
I just hope he does what he did at lunch when he tells the story. Go on.
What did I do at lunch? Oh my God, I know exactly.
Go on.
Tuesday, April 3rd in the year 1860. Now, it's been 10 years since the state of California became part of the Union. The first...
Wait, stop. 10 years?
Yes. California became a state in 1850.
Okay, so you're speaking in the context... Okay, never mind. Go.
Okay. So, 10 years after California became, at that point, the westernmost state of the United States of America.
Duh.
Exactly. Well, I said at that point, because obviously Alaska is the westernmost point. It's even further
actually
than
Hawaii.
No, Hawaii is not. Nope. The Aleutian Islands go further than Hawaii.
But
yeah,
you're talking territory.
No,
you're talking state.
No. Alaska's Aleutian Islands. It's the tail that comes off of Alaska.
I'm literally about to start banging my head on the table.
So Alaska's westernmost.
I didn't mean that.
So at that point in 1860, California is the westernmost part of the United States. On April 3rd, 1860, the first successful United States Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California began. For the first time in a shorter period of time, even though Missouri is not quite the East Coast, but it became East Coast, could communicate with West Coast in a matter of 10 days. That's kind of big! These are horses running to a fucking mountain range, the middle of a fucking America. I thought that was a pretty cool fact.
Okay, so anyway. So the Indians did it better.
We need the meth.
This is actually a fun fact.
I thought that was a really interesting fact.
Hashtag
I got more
history with Chris. Yes. However, when we were at lunch, we kept getting distracted. We were trying to do some stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, so I downloaded this great app today. And he's telling me the story about the Pony Express. And then he gets so excited. And he's like, this is cool. Isn't this cool? And I'm like, yes, like, Chris.
This is a good fact.
This is a great fact.
And
but he had to like reassure himself that he was like, giving me important information.
Yeah, this is important. This is. I'm right about this. You know, it was for the first time the East Coast and West Coast would be connected. And mic drop.
Boom. No, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's like, God, it's like the Pony Express. It's like, it sounds like a porno.
The Pony Express?
How does that sound like a... Uh-huh. Oh, because we were talking about animals having sex and that shit earlier, right?
No, that was just gay animals.
Oh, gay animals. Gay animals.
So, anyway, moving on. Don't you have a story about your Chancellor Angela Merkel?
I just had a story.
You just had a story?
I did. Why don't you talk about North Carolina?
You know what? I want to ask this one a question, though, Dave.
Okay, let's ask Dave.
Can you tell
me
about the bus that came into New Haven?
Yes.
The transgender bus. Do you know anything about what happened while it was here? Because we didn't speak to this last week, and I think it's important.
We tried to, we never got to it.
I thought the bus got vandalized when it got to Philadelphia.
No, the bus got beat up, and so did the bus driver when it was in New York City.
I was going to say, I thought it was supposed to be in New Haven
over the weekend, last weekend. I'm sorry, so over a week ago. It was supposed to be here Saturday.
The free speech bus.
Free speech bus, yes. So, you know, this is going to be an unpopular perspective on this. I think people have a right, just like probably the message Bernie Sanders would have, is the right to their opinion. This was not a group of violent towards the LGBTQ community. This was not a group that was out there confronting people. They had this gigantic orange bus. It was painted, you know, with decals saying,
boys are boys, girls are girls, and always will be.
Exactly.
And that was it. And, you know, they were hitting the Ivy League college campus, you know, hot spots, and they were there to provoke people, but they didn't actually get out there and do much of anything. When they got to New Haven, they were here for, I think, about an hour. They drove around. They didn't even stop, and they left. And that was it.
Oh. Yeah, because I didn't hear much about it.
It was followed
by a U-Haul, wasn't it?
It was followed by an LGBT group that I guess they painted some banners, you know, in support of trans rights, and they kind of followed the bus around. But unfortunately, that message kind of got a little lost because people weren't really. It would have been a more powerful message had it been stationary somewhere. But we were actually at police department and working with Yale University and working with LGBTQ groups at Yale because they targeted the university campus area. Mm-hmm. We had a great amount of support saying, don't even go out there. Just ignore this thing. Let it go away. Mm-hmm. And because there was no grand protest, there was no march, there was nothing like that. That's exactly what they did, where they were planning on being here for 48 hours. They ended up in New Haven for less than an hour.
And they're just simply brushed aside and forgotten.
Off to Providence. Yep. That was it.
Bye, Felicia.
Good. I'm proud of New Haven for that then. And like you said, they weren't out there, you know. I mean, maybe.
Listen, I think everybody has a right to protest. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that bus got zero publicity.
Exactly.
Until it was attacked in New York City. And then they became, you know, then they ended up on national news.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why are we going to afford them the opportunity? That's exactly what they wanted.
Exactly. That's how I feel, yeah.
And you can be angry and angry and angry, and guess what? Sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You know, this truck is driving, this bus is driving through New Haven. Just go get a coffee, you know, go walk your dog. Like, just forget it. Let them come and go.
Yeah, no, I would probably yell at the bus.
Well,
I
would too.
I can't let it go, sorry.
Fuck you!
You can do that, but the problem is it really becomes they're out there for the publicity.
Correct.
They didn't have it on their own.
You know what? You're right. That's fine.
So are we.
They are out there for the publicity.
But that's not the publicity it's going to get. We're preaching to the choir. They're preaching to the meth heads, you know, all across the middle America. And they're getting more support than we are. We're getting the support of people we already have. Mm-hmm. They're getting the support of people they're recruiting.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the publicity difference is.
Yeah, they're building the hate.
I would get it.
Yeah.
I know how to.
That sounds...
Anyway.
Freaky.
Yeah.
I know. My only thing with this whole bus situation is that I think what bothers me the most is it's almost like they waited for this moment where it's okay to attack the LGBTQ plus community because of our current administration. Because as we've already spoke, the hate crime rate has exponentially increased. Yeah, I said it. And it bothers me that they would even... Why are you trying... especially in these liberal areas, going and trying to get support for communities that are so supported by the community that you're driving through.
Because it's a liberal area.
That's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah. But what is their... It's biology. Boys are boys and girls are girls are girls. Like,
so it's a shitty message, but it's like... It's like... who are those people that ring your doorbell and teach you about
Jehovah's Witness.
It's like Jehovah's Witness is going to fucking Boca. All right, you're not going to stand on somebody's doorstep and convert them from Judaism. This is a religious-based group.
Can you imagine?
This is
them
a marriage
in Fort Lauderdale?
Inequality group. Yeah. So I mean, this is religious-based. This is less political-based than it is religious-based.
Right. You got to do what my mom
just
does.
Nuts.
I think what makes me crazy is that they're just people trying to be people and live. They're not bothering you. They're not affecting you.
But if
I don't give a fuck if you're brainwashed by... They're just people trying to live their life. Why do you have to attack them?
It is what it is.
No. Nobody's advocating attacking anybody. But what I'm saying is you've got people who are so steadfast in their belief, who believe they're going to burn in hell.
Then
all right?
Believe your beliefs and shut the fuck and stay at home.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't work that way.
Part of their belief is that they have to go and right all the wrongs, you know? Nobody reads the Bible, all right? They just kind of skim right down to the end.
They pick the things that they want to use.
Can I say something about the Bible?
They hit click, I agree. That's what people who Bible thump do.
Can I tell you a story about the Bible? So, okay.
That's very true, Dave.
When I was living in Puerto Rico, my mother... I love this woman because she's just fucking amazing. So I'm going to tell you a story. So you had Jehovah's Witness people would come around and they would like sort of kind of carry their Bibles and go door to door. And my mother would invite them in on purpose. I love this woman. So she would sit them down, offer them coffee, and then she would open up a 40 and light up a cigarette and say, go. And just sit there and drink and smoke while they were just going. And they would just look at her like, is she fucking serious? And then she would like, you want a shot? And I was like, yes, queen. Oh, yeah. My mother was crazy.
God bless her.
So I fucking love her. Because
whichever god you want. Have her blessed by one of them.
Oh my God. When we were outside, I saw it to bring this up just to lighten the mood up. When Trish, Dave, and I were outside smoking, Tom has these two ashtrays outside. And Dave like reached over to Ash. I'm like, oh no, I can move this one over here. And the ashtrays kind of do look like an urn. So you can see all this like dust in it. And Dave was like, oh, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was like Tommy's great grandmother or something.
It's sand.
Out of respect.
Out of respect.
Speaking of urns, though.
Yes, I got that right here.
We should probably give some love.
Yeah, we should. So just like Cleve Jones was, we too, by the news, are heartbroken at the fact that our good person, this individual did so much. Yet with just a needle and some thread and some fabric, did so much for the community. And he never, ever really, really appreciated the fact that he made such an impact with his symbol. So Gilbert Baker, the creator of our LGBT flag, the rainbow flag, passed away Saturday, unfortunately. And
I think it was Friday, actually.
Friday?
Yeah, on Cleve Jones' page, Friday.
Okay. So, well, Friday.
Someone's going to call us out if we don't say it. So.
Well, either way, the point is he passed away. He was someone who was there from the beginning when we started our struggle. He gave us a symbol that has become an international symbol for the LGBTQ plus A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all of the acronyms. Literally, it just became the symbol. It became a symbol of being earthy, of being natural, of being...
It's about life and color and love and everything coming together. All of these different colors coming together and making a beautiful image. And that's what he gave us. And fucking thank God, Gilbert Baker, you gave us something that it's irreplaceable. And we can only thank you for every single thing that you did for us.
And, you know, it's as Trish said before, or should I say Nick, it was so impactful, I mean, to the community that Nick even wears a tattoo of a rainbow flag on his foot.
Yeah, it was my 25th birthday to myself.
Yeah.
Birthday present to myself.
And, you know, Cleve Jones actually posted on Facebook and he said, I am heartbroken that my dearest friend in the world is gone. Gilbert gave the world the rainbow flag. He gave me 40 years of love and friendship. I can't stop crying. I love you forever, Gilbert Baker. And so to that, you know, we would like to, you know, in some way, shape, or form, dedicate this episode to him as well for giving us the gift of identity.
And you can learn a little bit about their stories by checking out, was the ABC special, When We Rise?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Check that out. They talk both about Cleve Jones and Gilbert Baker.
And many more. I mean, there was Roma.
Of course.
There's so many characters that played an influential role in getting us what we take for granted as rights as gay men and women in this country. So, you know, check them out. The series When We Rise is available on iTunes. It's available on, I believe, Amazon. So, you know, just check it out. If you have a moment, look at it. Let us know what you think and enjoy it because it was such a beautiful, beautiful series. I cried. I laughed. I did a little bit of everything watching that. And to me, that was just great.
You know what's crazy to me is, so I got a tattoo on my foot when I was 25. I always wanted to get a rainbow tattoo. So I finally did. When I was 25, I got a rainbow tattoo. But now, knowing the backstory of what the rainbow flag, where it came from, who created it, it's almost like I have a little bit of history that I carry with me all the time.
And but it also shows that, you know, it also gives you a different perspective on your choices. And it also gives you a little bit of history that you wear with you.
Yeah,
you take that with you everywhere.
Yeah, Gilbert's always with me.
That's awesome.
Mr. Baker, you're on my foot.
So, you know,
rest in peace.
Seriously.
There's squatty potties in heaven.
There better be.
So we should start wrapping up the show. We're going on probably about an hour and a half at this point.
Oh, my Lord. I do have one more thing to add before we do close, though.
So I had something as well. What do you have?
Probably the one that you're going to want to say.
HP2?
No.
Okay, well, go.
Okay. This is one that Tom did put in, but I wanted to add. I don't, for those of you who watched The Walking Dead, last night's episode, we have to wait all the way till October. Last night was the season premiere, or season finale. I won't give anything away.
I haven't watched it. I was waiting for this show to wrap up so I can sort of kind of put it on. But
it's so good. I don't actually remember the character, but the actor, Daniel Newman, from The Walking Dead, comes out in a very personal and passionate video. He said it's finally time. It was finally time for him to come out. And for those of you who do watch The Walking Dead, like I said, I do not remember his character's name, but he's the really cute redhead. And he's with the group The Kingdom under King Ezekiel, the guy with the dreads who has a fucking tiger. I can't talk about it because I don't want to give anything away.
Well, but no, a lot of people know he has a tiger because he was in the
season premiere.
But I want
to talk about last night's episode.
No, but please don't. I just wanted to point out
that the actor of the character, the actor Daniel Newman from the character from The Kingdom, came out as gay. And
again, I think it's really important that we note things like this, and it's important that celebrities come out. And I understand it is your choice to come out, but visibility in our community right now is very important. And that's why when a celebrity comes out, it's thrown all over the social media, it's thrown all over the news, because it's important that because as a celebrity, they have a platform, they have a voice.
And a lot of
now
followers.
Our community is getting a voice by you coming out. So thank you very much for coming out and being strong enough to do that.
And good for you. It's about time you were able to be happy.
Absolutely.
You sexy ginger man. I
know, yes, queen.
Did you see him, Dave?
He's so cute.
No.
I'll show you later.
Well, look him up. Yeah, absolutely. So listen, before we go, we do want to mention that the North Carolina bathroom bill was repealed. Unfortunately, there was some caveats. There's some, like...
Is that a word?
Caveats.
There were a couple of...
caveats?
There were a couple of... I'm about to cut these two bitches like really bad. There was a couple of.
I thought you were speaking Yiddish. Like, what the fuck happened here?
All three of us now.
Good night, everyone.
No.
Gefilte fish.
There was a couple of things that unfortunately didn't make it into the bill, and there was a couple of compromises that took place that really, really didn't make it feel like they really repealed this law. And
HB2.
And unfortunately, you know, certain LGBT groups and other HB2 critics said that the deal is a repeal only in name, and with advocates literally calling it HB2.0. Not to be confused with Gay Talk 2.0. Focusing on two clauses compromising the compromise that they added back that says that the bill fails to protect transgender people from discrimination. The so-called deal is a political... or it's politics at its worst, and was only made as the state faced losing key NCAA events and further economic damage. Unfortunately, they have a Democratic governor that was just elected that beat the Republican governor, and he really didn't fight it. He just said, you know what, I'm just going to give you a little bit and take a little bit and run with it. But it wasn't enough because, again, it's still. And here's the other thing. What makes it even worse is that this particular deal that he accepted, this repeal, prevents any local municipalities from making any ordinances for themselves that would specifically protect transgender people in those areas because the bill prevents it. It says that until 2020, they could not enact any local ordinances that would supersede this particular repeal of the law, which still gives them the opportunity to discriminate against transgender folks. So to the governor of North Carolina,
Roy Cooper,
you got it wrong. I'm sorry, but you did. And, you know, you're just going to become another honorary asshole at some point. And just going to throw it out there.
Which bill
was this?
HB2.
So in the same vein, though, HB3 maintains that they still find a great difference in the masturbation laws across this country in that it is still much worse. It's better to masturbate when looking out your window than it is masturbating looking in someone else's window. So that has been upheld across the country. So we're gonna hold on to that. I'll give you a hint. One of them is really illegal. I can't. Again.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
On that note, Dave Hartman, thank you for always being the person that fucking lightens up everything.
I'm here to bring our show. It's
no fucking easy task to come on the show and talk about all the things that affect our community in a very, very crude, funny way. You have to be crass sometimes. You have to swear a little bit and you have to have a little fun with it. But sometimes those topics are way too serious for us to even like go out of our way to try to make it funny. And shit like that, unfortunately, is. But you, my friend, have a unique way of fucking doing that.
That's so it. Because if we don't laugh, we're all going to be crying.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And you know what rhymes with crass queen?
Cry
yes,
queen.
Yes, queen!
we get each other, Trish.
I'm literally surrounded by gays. I can't take it.
Honey, you were gay before we were even born.
Yeah, that's true. This is like the locker room at the Ice Capades. This is way gayer than anything.
A long time ago. So let's get to our announcements.
Let's get into it.
If you love the show and you want to help us, head on over to iTunes, rate us, and leave us a review. This allows for our podcast to become more visible within the iTunes and the Apple community. You can also become a Patreon using the service. You, the listener, can help us support the show with a pledge donation, which, by the way, our guest host tonight is also a supporter. Thank you,
Dave.
We appreciate it. And for more information on that, you can head on over to our website and you just click on the Patreon banner.
And next week, we welcome Pat Laffin and Jared Andrew Brown from Squarefoot Theater Company to talk about all the latest projects.
So, can you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, because I have no idea about that.
On the theater company.
Yeah, no. So I went to college with Pat Laffin. Good friends. He was actually my senior buddy, if that makes any sense.
Is he the one who pooped on a leaf and put it in your room?
No.
Senior buddy, does that involve you being on your knees at all?
It was senior buddy.
No, he just like kind of like helped me into the department. But anyway, so him and his husband Jared, they started their own theater company called the Squarefoot Theater Company, and yay, they have some productions coming up, and they do some great work, and I wanted to have them on to talk about their work, and they are very queenie as well. We'll have a lot of fun with them.
Yes.
It's going to be loud Headshots, in here.
Please. Oh, honey, you have no idea.
It's
going to
be loud in here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. So, Nick.
But anyway, so thank you, of course, again, to our guest co-host, Dave Hartman. It's always lovely having you on. I think he's going to be back on the 17th.
I can't wait for the shit and sit, or what's it called?
Shit and sit and stool.
I think is a good one. Yeah.
So yeah. As we all know, Squatty Potty, Bobby Edwards could not be on today, but he will be on hopefully on April 17th.
17th, yes.
And just as a reminder,
that's my birthday weekend, by the way.
How old will you be?
Enough.
We'll get it one of these days.
So just a reminder, you can email us to enter the competition for a free Squatty Potty at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tell us your best poop story.
And again, we're going to review those. So shall we give a date, an end date as far as when our submissions can be received?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the best idea would be the Friday prior. So let's say email us by Friday, April 14th, if you want to be eligible.
That's the day before my birthday. So, yeah, if you send us an email by Friday, April 14th, tell us your best poop story, Nick and Chris and myself, we'll sit here and we'll read through them, figure out which one is the most funniest of all stories. We'll air it on that next episode and then announce the winner.
I forgot, Dave, are we supposed to have dinner? Then read the poop stories?
Definitely dinner first. Oh, you know what? Also, you got to remember, just like Chris always tells me, because he looks for dates on Craigslist, if you answer with a photograph, it's going to get a quicker reply. So we not only want your shit stories, but we'll take the shit visuals too.
So now we're going to get a fucking bunch of pictures of turds.
I do not want to see your turds in a toilet. I'm just letting you know right now.
Better all through proper bowel management.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just... All right. Email us if you want to be a part of it. I need to say something really quick and then we can close the show out. But I think I'm in the doghouse right now because we're having Squarefoot Theater on next week. And Ian's like, Squarefoot Theater, what? because he works at Castle Creek Players and he has a couple shows coming up. So we'll have Ian Galligan on as well to talk about his upcoming productions.
If he combines Castle Creek with the shit story, it could be the White Castle Creek Players.
Oh my God! He always gets that zinger in. He always gets that in.
Yes. So we can do that. All right. Well, so Chris?
All of our listeners, just so you know, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
You can find us on social media.
Nick Facebook. Announces.
Oh my God, Nick announces! You can find us on social media.
Really?
Facebook, gaytalk20.
Really? I thought I was actually going to get away with it.
All right. So Gay Talk 2.0 on Facebook. Instagram is Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Oh, God. Do I have to? Okay. Anyway, you can contact us by visiting our website where you can leave us a comment and or a suggestion. I said it right. You can submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also leave us a question via voicemail for us to answer on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take time to thank you all for tuning in. Y'all have a wonderful night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.